another episode of the Conversations with Authors podcast. I'm your host, Alison Thompson, aka The Proof Fairy. In each episode of this podcast, I talk to an author about what inspired them to start writing and what tips they would give other aspiring authors. Today is Christine Hancock, a historical novelist and accidental author of the Beardsnoth Chronicles. You'll have to listen on to find out why. I hope you enjoy our conversation. Hello, Christine. It's really lovely to meet you today. Tell me a little bit about your books.
Beardsnoth Chronicles are a historical fiction series set in 10th century England. That's the Anglo-Saxon period. They're based on a real character, Alderman Beardsnoth of Essex, who died in AD 991 at the Battle of Maldon. He was defending his country against a Viking invasion. This is the time of Ethelred the Unready, that sort of thing.
Okay.
England had been at peace for quite a long time, but then the Vikings started attacking again. The battle was quite famous because he was killed and all his men died as well at his side. It was one of these glorious defeats by the British that celebrated. But there was a famous poem written about the battle, which is still studied today. And it was successful in a way because the Vikings went away for a little while, and after that they were paid to stay away. I found him an interesting character because, apart from dying gloriously, not a lot is known about him. And he was quite old when he died, apparently in his 60s.
Oh gosh, very old, very old back then, yeah.
Not now.
Oh no.
But as I said, there's not a lot known about him, so he seemed an interesting character to look at. How did he become this great warrior? No, I took him right back to his childhood and started there.
So has a lot of research gone into this? Is there material out there to research about him, or is this your imagination filling in the backstory for him?
It's mostly my imagination, but so long as I stick to the facts, you know, who was the king at the time, that sort of thing. Basically, what we know about him is that his father's name, but not who his father was, who he married. He married a relative of the king and therefore became one of the king's advisors. So he's mentioned in various charters over the years. Became one of the ruling earls, aldermen as they were called at the time. One of the major people in the government, but never really did anything else apart from die.
Wow! So there's a lot of holes in his story to be filled in. Then that I guess your chronicles are doing. So what inspired you to start writing about him?
Well, I didn't intend to write about him at all, really. I've done a lot of family history and wanted to write up some of the research I'd done. So I joined a local writing class, which turned out to be writing fiction. We had a very good tutor who encouraged people to start writing a book. So I was looking around for various characters, and one of the exercises we did, I imagined this Beardsnoth on the eve of the battle. I knew a little bit about him because I used to live near Maldon and went to, well, they had a special celebration of the 1000th anniversary some time ago, which I intended reenactment and everything.
Oh, yeah.
So I wrote this up exercise. And then the following week, there was a different exercise. Oh, I'll use him for that. And that's when it suddenly struck me this would be a good person to write about. Plenty of room to make things up, and also a hook because he was a well-known person.
Oh, yeah, and I gather you're on your fourth book about him now.
Yeah, fourth book was published last October.
Right, gosh, so you found plenty to say about him. So,
and I've only got him up to the age of 20.
And so you've got another 40 years to go. So
yeah,
this is going to be some saga by the time it's finished, isn't it? Wow.
Well,
do you intend to take him right through to his death?
Probably not. I mean, I started with a book and then it carried on from there. It started as a search for a sword. When he's young, he's shown his father's sword. This will be yours when you become a man. So that was the idea. But it gradually developed into the actual search for his father, who had disappeared when he was a baby. What happened to his father? And, of course, you can't hang that out too long. And by book four, he finds out what happened. So it's sort of come to an end, a temporary end.
Okay.
Book five is something a little bit different, but I will be returning to Vietnam.
Okay, yeah. I'll ask you about book five later on then, yeah. So how do you go about the writing process? I know some people just have it in their head and put it straight on paper. Some people plan every detail. How do you go about planning and writing your books?
Well, I'm definitely a pantser rather than a planner.
Okay.
I know people who have post-it notes and have every chapter planned out before they even start, but I have a general idea of where it's going and then just start at the beginning and see what happens. Because quite often the characters will decide that they want to do something else.
Ah, you're one of those. So the characters take over the writing themselves. They take over the story.
I mean, the first book was, I've got this series of various exercises which I sort of cobbled together, and in characters appeared, and I found I had a story, and I finished it at a point where I think, this could be a series, a group of boys having adventures.
Okay, yeah.
Although it's not young adult or anything like that, it is adult fiction, but that's where it started.
Yeah, no, I've always really, really liked this idea, though, of writing a character who is so fully fleshed out that they just take over the story. I've always thought that sounds like such a wonderful position to be in, when your character just goes and you're kind of chasing after them, trying to keep up with them along the way. It must feel lovely to be able to write like that.
I enjoy it, yes. Each book sort of covers about a year, and I can check the Anglo-Saxon Chronicle to see what was happening at that particular time.
Okay.
And at the time I'm writing, not a lot was actually happening. but I suddenly did discover with book two that there was an encounter with Eric Bloodaxe, or a sort of a battle. So someone else well known.
So you can weave in those real life events and characters, weave them into Biernoth's story.
Yeah.
Do you know if he actually did meet Bloodaxe in real life? Who knows?
No.
Who knows?
He could have done.
Yeah, I guess it was probably a very small world then, wasn't it? And they probably moved in the same circles at the very least.
Yeah.
It's how did you get your books published?
Well, I looked at various things, and I attended a self-publishing conference in Leicester in the early days, and it seemed that self-publishing was the way to go. I thought, who's going to publish my books? one didn't have a lot of confidence at the time. So I was thinking about that, and then I managed to get a deal, a partnership deal, and then that was how the first book was published.
So how does the partnership deal work?
I paid a certain amount of the costs, and then I get a certain percentage of the profits, as it were.
Okay, and they do all the work in terms of the editing and the formatting and all that sort of...
I'd already had it edited.
Okay.
And I know how... I quickly found out how important editing was. I've had a cover design done as well, so they didn't have to do all the work, but the actual printing it and formatting and everything they did.
Okay. And then they distribute it to Amazon and the bookstores and it's by.
I wasn't entirely satisfied with the service. Well, in the sense that I think I expected them to do more.
Right.
And nowadays in publishing, even if you're properly published, you still have to do a lot of promotion yourself, and I didn't feel quite in the loop, as it were. I didn't know what they were doing, what I was supposed to be doing. And it was quite a lot of money for not much.
Okay.
So when I got to book two, I thought I can do this myself.
Ah, so book two, you self-published it. Was that through Amazon's Kindle?
Yeah.
So the three books, 2, 3, and 4, you've actually self-published yourself without the partner.
And how
have you found that?
Not too bad. I've had a little bit of a problem with Amazon recently. I think when the books are downloaded, they're all right, but it's the look inside facility on Amazon that the formatting has gone up the creek, and I can't get them to put it right.
I think the thing with Amazon's self-publishing thing is when it works very well. But when there are problems, it's really difficult to get hold of them and get things fixed, isn't it? So you kind of want it to run smoothly because it's a bit of a nightmare if things do go wrong. I've not heard of that problem. That's Have you learned anything about yourself by writing the books?
Main thing is that I could do it.
Mm.
I've never been one of these people who wanted to write a book. I never thought about it.
Oh, gosh. Most people say, I've always wanted to write a book. That wasn't you.
I was put off at school because my spelling was terrible.
Okay.
Now with all the various things, I don't have to worry about spelling.
I was going to say that's a really, really good tip for anyone listening, isn't it? That if your spelling isn't great, if your grammar isn't great, that's fine. That's what editors are for. That's what spell checkers are for at a very basic level. You shouldn't let it put you off writing if that's what you want to do, because there's ways that you can fix that, aren't there? It's your ideas that make the book, and the grammar is kind of secondary and something you can sort out.
I've always been a reader. I've always been reading books. It's only been more recently. As I said, I've done a lot of family history. I started a blog. I was writing articles for the blog about aspects of the research and what I'd found out. And I belong to a family history society as well. I started writing articles for their magazine. And then we decided to have a prize for the best article each year. And I won.
Yay!
I didn't realise I could write.
Ah, okay.
And then that was when I joined this class.
Yeah.
2013.
Okay.
and it went from there.
And it went from there. Gosh, yeah, yeah. So it just shows, doesn't it? Yeah, anyone can do it. And yeah, you just need that little something to kick you in the right direction, something to give you a start. And I guess, yeah, winning that prize must have, yeah. I know you said right at the beginning, well, who'd want to publish my book? Well, you obviously can write because you won a prize for your writing. So
the standard wasn't terribly high.
Oh, don't say that.
Only a small group.
You won the prize. Don't say that. And you've gone on to write four books. So so has anything exciting, anything interesting happened to you or in your life as a result of becoming an author? Has it kind of led you off into, I don't know, speaking at Hay Festival or anything like that?
Not really. I have attended a couple of local book festivals before all this happened.
COVID, yeah.
Yeah. I've discovered I'm not very good at selling unless I'm face-to-face with people.
Ah, okay.
If I can meet people and talk about my book, I can quite often get them to buy it.
Yeah.
And hope, but when they bought one, they'll buy the rest.
But it's
all this promotion online and everything else. So
I guess you're looking forward to the world getting back to something resembling normal and being able to get out to sort of book fairs and book festivals again and meet people.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Yeah. So what advice would you give to anyone who's either thinking about writing a book, never wanted to write a book, or in the middle of a book now? What tips could you pass on to them?
Basically, don't give up.
Mm-hmm.
Just carry on. And if you're just starting, just write. It doesn't matter what you write. You don't have to let anyone read it. But write whatever you like, whenever you can, when you can find the time.
Mm-hmm.
It's all practice. And of course, read as well.
Mm.
I've come across writers who say, oh, I don't read at all. I don't understand how they can write if they don't read other people's books.
Yeah, me too.
I think that is how I learned to write, just by reading so many books.
Mm. Yeah. 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 You kind of get a feel for what works. You get a feel for how to write dialogue, don't you? You get a feel for sort of how to weave back stories into the story without it feeling really clunky. And yeah, you just sort of, like you said, yeah, it's you read and then you pick up how to write through reading.
Yes.
Yeah.
And enjoy it. If you're not enjoying it, what's the point?
Yeah, it's not an easy thing to do, is it? You don't sit down and write a book in 5 minutes. It's a labour of love, isn't it? So it's got to be enjoyable. You don't want it to be a chore.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's brilliant. Thank you so much for those. So what's next for you?
Well, as I say, I'm writing another book. I sort of got to that pause in bit and story and decided to have a go at a historical mystery.
Okay.
I don't think I'll ever write anything other than historical, but you know, Cadfael, that sort of thing, they seem pretty, pretty popular.
Yeah.
With readers. And I suddenly realized that I had a ready-made detective in the Beatnoss books.
Ah, okay.
Because Beatnoth's best friend, Woolston, who I started by inventing him as the complete opposite of this wonderful, tall, athletic warrior.
Yeah.
He's the thinker. He's not a warrior. He got injured when he was young. So he spent time in a monastery. And then returned and became best friend, you know, sidekick.
Mm.
And he's interested in things, in history and what's going on.
Yeah. So he's the brains to be at North. He's the brains to be at North Sprawn.
Yeah,
I see. Exactly. Right.
Yeah. And at the end of the fourth book, he goes off to revenge himself on somebody, and so that suddenly he's off on his own. I thought, well, what can he do? He goes to help. Goes for help to Glastonbury, where the Abbot of Glastonbury is Dunstan, later Saint Dunstan.
Mm-hmm.
And you need something to do. Hey, look, there's this chap who's been killed under suspicious circumstances. Go and look into it.
The first Sherlock Holmes. Excellent. Yeah. So did you have that in mind when he went off at the end of the fourth book? Did you have that in mind that he was?
Yes. I was
okay. Yeah. 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 Okay. Yeah. That sounds like a really lovely way to kind of diversify the chronicle, not carry on the chronicle.
Yeah. All the books just carry on time-wise.
Yeah.
So Be It Not William, it does actually appear in this, but I'm just a bit at the beginning and a bit at the
okay.
End.
Yeah. So. But I'm sure Be It Not will be back at some stage.
Be It Not will definitely be back, yes. Can't keep him down.
Christine, where can we find you online? Where can people find out more about you and your books?
I've got a blog, website, www.beitnoth.com. I'm on Twitter, Young Be It Not, and I've got an author page on Facebook as well.
Brilliant. Thank you very much. It's been an absolute delight to talk to you today and to find out more about Be It Not and about his brainy sidekick. So I'm sure that's going to be another great book coming out very soon.
Next few months sometime.
Excellent. We'll look out for it. Thank you very much.
Thank you for letting you talk about Be It Not.
You're welcome. Thank you to Christine for being my guest on the podcast today. The four books in the Be It Not Chronicles series, Bright Sword, Bright Axe, Bright Blade and Bright Helm, are available now, and Christine's fifth book, Death at the Mint, a Wolfstand mystery, is out on July the 1st. You'll find them all on Amazon, and you can also find out more on Christine's website, which is beitnoth.com, and I better spell that for you, BYRHTNOTH.com, beitnoth.com. You can find out more about me and the services I offer authors on my website, www.theproofferry.com. You'll also find all the episodes of this podcast there, along with details on how you could be a guest on the show. If you've enjoyed the podcast, please subscribe, share it, rate it, tell your friends about it, and leave a review. This has been a Proof Fairy production, unusually without any contributions from the dogs today. And I'll be back next week with another inspiring interview with another amazing author.